Today's daf is daf Yud Ches, and we are holding at the two dafs, about one fifth of the way down. So, continuing on now with the dinim of the five different sugim of Eved Ivri. So the Braita now comes to contrast some of these halachot in a way that it seems to be absolutely against the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, Yesh b'Ivri she'ein b'Ivriya, v'yesh b'Ivriya she'ein b'Ivri. I mean, we think that we know what that means. We know that there are certain things that affect an Eved Ivri that do not apply to an Ivriya. I mean, we know there's no din of Ritzia by an Ivriya. We know that by an Ivriya there's Ritzia b'Simonim. That's what we think it's going to say. Except what happens is the Bryce says something absolutely wild. Yesh be'ivri shu yotze b'shanim u'biyovel u'vimitat ha'adon. Asha'in kein be'ivriya. That's outrageous. Now, obviously an Ivriya is yotze b'shanim u'biyovel. If anything, even more b'mitat ha'adon, right? I mean, because the Eved Ivri we learned yesterday, at least even it's a ben, if there's a ben, the Ivriya b'chlau isn't talking about a ben. What is it talking about? That we'll see in the minute, and the Gemara is going to question the Bryce. The yesh be'ivriya, sher ivriya yotza b'simanim, okay, that's fine. Ve'inanim keret v'nishnet, she cannot be sold and then resold, mashenken the ivri can, which also we're going to question. U'u mavdin ota ba'al korcho, and we force a pidyon, which also doesn't make sense, because I mean, we would do that also, we force the adon to relinquish, if you pay, so that's the vehevda, but that applies begiron kesev echishavim and koneo with an Eved Ivri too. This is an extremely confusing braita. Mashen can be Ivri. So the Gemara is going to go through the braita piece by piece. Omrama yesh be Ivri she'in be Ivriya. What? The Mishnah says the opposite for Amini. Yitera alava ama Ivriya shekona atzma b'simanim. The Mishnah says the ama Ivriya has one additional yitzia, but not replaces the three yitzias of the Eved Ivri only with simanim. Obviously, we apply the dinim of yitzia b'sheish and b'yovel and so on to Ivriya also. So how can you possibly say that she doesn't have these yitziot? Mashein kein b'Ivriya. Om Rav Sheshem, well, the Mishnah is talking about a special case. This is talking about Kagon Shiyada. The Adain, in this case, took the Oma Ivriya and he married her with the original Kenyan. If he married her, I mean, obviously she's now his wife. What do you mean? She's going to be Yotze with Sheish. Boy, that would be really something. A wife is Yotze with Sheish. Forget about the Geb. You know, it's sort of a trial period. And if it doesn't work out, okay, we take somebody else. But you know, that's Pshita. Gita boy. She requires a Get. Says the Gemara, well, it's not so Pshita. Because since the whole Yud comes about in this unique way as an extension of the dinim of the Oma Ivriya, so Ma'od Etema lo liftele yilchatamina. I might have thought that the fact that he's Mi'ada doesn't change the halachot that applied to her from before. So he can't now take the kinyan of an Oma Ivriya, where the kinyan lechatkila was for Sheishanim, or the Kinyan Lechatchila gave him Keach only for Yitzia Ad Yoivam, and so on. Take that now, turn it into something else through Yi'ud, and now expect that we're going to be Mavato the other Yitziot. So I would have thought that Enochinami, but he's limited. It's a special kind of Yishud. It's limited to 6 years, or that's limited to Yoivam. Now if he wants to marry her, let her go make Kedushin, like anybody else would make Kedushin. But this Yi'ud wouldn't be able to be mishabit her more than the original shifkut would have been. Therefore, kamash malam, that indeed the yitziot are bitelot. In other words, now she will not be yotze b'sheish. Now she will not be yotze b'yovel. Now she will not be yotze b'mitat ha'adom. Huh? Does that make sense? What do you mean? If her husband dies, of course she's yotze. So this doesn't make sense either. The Gemara doesn't even address it. When the Masha'in came to Ivriya, the Ivri is yet to be mitat adon, the Ivriya is not. Why? Because he married her. So therefore, she's married him forever in the grave. We burn her, throw her in with him. What is the Gemara supposed to be talking about over here? Very, very weird. And nobody even discusses it among Rishonim here. So there's a number of possibilities here. One possibility is that in the same way that we can create a situation of yiud, where she won't be yotze b'sheish u'b'yovel, we can create a situation of yiud where she won't be yotze b'mitat ha'adon. Namely, he was me either for his or son. I mean, you're looking for a case. Okay, so it's a case of yud where she won't be yotze. We need to know that mitat ha'adon won't free her in a case of yud. That's my personal approach. I didn't see that anywhere. The Achronim have a very nice cha of how to explain this. Hamakna is masber this way. What are we talking about over here? Are we talking about a case where the Odin has a son? No, he can't have a son. Because if he did, then the first place that says that the Ibri is Yotze b'mitat ha'adon isn't true, because he was Oved es ha'ben, as we said yesterday. So since he's talking about a case where we have no choice but to say he doesn't have a son, so Lamaisa, if the Odin died in that matzah without a son, she wouldn't be Yotze because she would be Chayeves in Yibum. I don't like that at all. For a number of reasons. First of all, what do you mean that Yosef was a Yibum? Well, we're talking Dafka that there was an Ach, and who says there was an Ach? Besides which, I know if it is a Ben, that doesn't mean he doesn't have a boss. If he had a boss, he would put it from Yibum. I understand, but it's not a case that's built into the nature of what the Ba'odin can do for her. Saying that he could be Miyayeder in a way that will be Mavato all Yitzias is true. But saying that, well, there might be a case where there's a brother and he doesn't have a son, but he also doesn't have a daughter. What do you mean? I mean, we're throwing in some case, Tambi Alma. That's coincidence. We don't want to talk about coincidence. We're saying it's Shaykh that the Kenyan itself would be Mavato. That's my sense of it. But anyway, you could see the approach. Sorry. Fine. So that's the Chiddush. If that's the case, says the Gemara, so then the next piece of the bride doesn't make sense. Because then it says that the Alma Ivriya has something that the Avid Ivriya doesn't have, namely Shiyot B'Simanim. But obviously, once she married the guy, if you're talking about Kigot Shiyada, so she is in Yotz B'Simanim. So why are you saying she's Yotz B'Simanim? No, that's a different case. In other words, there's a case in which the Avid Ivriya has something, many things, three things that she doesn't have. There's a case where she has something that he doesn't have, namely where he was at Miyayin. Where's Bishy Money? By the way, there's still another problem with all of this. Because if Lamaisi, he goes ahead and he's Miyayin her, then also there's no Giron Kesef. So could have said there's four things. It's four things that an Eved Ivri has that she doesn't have. So that he's Yotze with the three things here, plus the Giron Kesef, he could buy himself back. What do you think about that? I'm confusing you this morning. I'm a little high because I didn't get any sleep last night. That guy's coffee kept me up all night last night. All right? But you hear the problem? Gentlemen, you hear the problem? Or am I just confusing you? Right? There's really four things that the Eved would be Yotze that she wouldn't be Yotze. Okay? Yeah. Clear question. So there is the approach of the anonymous Rishon, who's the Shita in Yadu Alami. That's how it's published. We don't know who this is, but here it is. So, who says that maybe the Peshad is because that's the Farish in the Pasuk. Because what the Pasuk says is that if Lo Matzachem Beina, and so on, and he's in not Miyayada, so then she would be Yotze B'Siman. So in other words, so it's clearly that I have to tell you in the case of Miyai that she's not Yotze B'Simanim. The pasuk says that in Lo Matzachein Beinah, and so Memela should be Yotze when she becomes a Gedolah. Not very satisfying, right? All right, we'll let you sleep on it since I didn't. Okay. Ve'ena nimkeret v'nishneit. Now, we continue on to say what's unique also about the Alma Ivriya is you can't sell her and then resell her. So what are you saying? That an Eved, you can sell and resell. Mechlad Eved Ivriya nimkar v'nishna, it's not true. But Tanya, doesn't the Braita understand the meaning of the Posik of the nimkar b'gnevato? B'gnevato v'lo b'chvelo. First of all, Bezdin will not sell a guy who cannot pay back the penalty portion, which is the kefel. But he can pay back what it is that he stole. We don't sell somebody in order to pay a penalty. We only sell him in order to pay back what was stolen. Furthermore, begnevato, that which he stole, literally, velo bezamamo, he could have been an aide. And he said, so-and-so stole money. That so-and-so doesn't have any money to pay it back. We would have sold him. Now it turns out that he was lying, and he wasn't even there to see it. So now you would say, kasher zamam lasot lachiv, do to him what he wanted to do to the other guy. He wanted to do to the other guy was to sell him. So we should sell him. Kamash malano, only begneva, but not bezomim. That the Gemara Marcus discusses. But in any event, we certainly will not do to him what the other guy, no matter what, because he didn't steal. The whole thing is only didn't gneva. Bignevato, furthermore, vinimkar bignevato, he shall be sold for his single gneva. Aha! So kibbut jinimkar pa'amachat, shuv yatara shayla mokra. You cannot sell him again after he was sold once, in which case the Ivri is the same as the Ivriya. Now, obviously, gentlemen, we could have said that it's talking about over here, Mokherat Atzmo. So he sold himself, now he sold himself again. He could sell himself as many times as he wants, right? Who says, it just says Evid, it doesn't say which Evid. I mean, all along we've been saying there are five different categories of Evid. Okay, so for that we have to say that since the bright itself wasn't Mechalek, which Evid, it means that no Evid would be Nimkar because of a Nimkar, which isn't true.
But I don't understand this.
Sorry, no Evid would ever be able to be limited in Nimkar because of a Nimkar, which isn't true, because there is an Evid that is limited.
Yeah. In what case?
Oh, that's exactly what we're getting to. Omar Rava, in what case? Exactly as Rabbi Yisrael said. Obviously, it depends what the situation is. Lokasha. Kan begneva achat. Kan beshtei gnevot. I mean, all it's saying is, v'nimkar begnevato. For one gneva, you sell him only once. So let's say his value of 6 years of work did not cover what it is that he stole. So you might think, okay, so sell him twice. No, v'nimkar begnevato once. But if he went ahead now and he stole two separate times, so then he can be sold for each time. As he's selling him one time doesn't cover all of his gnevot. It only covers one of them. So then in a finami, we'll sell him again. But only one mechira for one gneva. That's Rava's approach. In which case, the brayta still makes sense.
It's less.
What's that?
It's less. The value when he stores less than 6 years worth of work.
No, but that's a machlokas coming up. Omalei Abaye says, Abaye, I don't go for that pshat, because you're assuming that benimkar begnevato means one cell per gneva. But the word begnevato, it sounds exactly like those kind of plural words, behema rabba, right? Which doesn't mean a lot of single animal. It means the concept of gneva. The behemas. You know the concept of gneva. Doesn't mean an act of gneva. So begneva to means for his stealing. We say for his stealing. Would you say that that's for a particular act of stealing in English? No. You say, you guys go around and steal, so for his stealing he shall be sold. Mashmi should be sold only once, even for a plethora of stealing. So you're telling me it's only one sale per gneva, but that's not true, because the word gneva does not mean an act of gneva. So gneva to tuva mash, but it's mash more than one. Therefore, I don't like the way you explained it, Rava. It needs a little finessing. What it means is like this. Gneva to means kan be adam echad, kan be shnei b'nei adam, which doesn't literally mean two different people or one person. That's not the point. But each set of cases. In other words, we bring him to court for five gnevas that we find that this guy's been stealing from me. Usually that's one person. We'll bring him to court. Then it'll only be nimkar once for that group of psak that they pasken on the court. Okay, sum total of your gnevas from this guy was X. He's only worth half of X. We won't sell him twice to cover the entire X. That's the point. Even though it was separate acts of gneva. Masha'inkin, if it's separate cases in which the guy was taken to court at different times or different sets, for each set it can be nimkar once. Says Rashi, it would be true even with one person. The Gemara is just making it clear. So if he stole from one person, he went to court, they passed him that he owes X. Then he goes and steals from the guy again. That would be the same thing as two people, basically. Okay, so Abaye, it's not that Abaye is saying a different, entirely a different approach than Rava. He's just making it clear that it's not really true that it's a sale per act of Geneva. It's rather a sale per court decision on whatever group of Geneva that's deciding in the court. Tana Rabban. Now we have another machlokas over here, which Alon just brought up. Suppose he stole Gnevo Elef. He stole something that's worth 1,000. V'shaver chamesh meot. And he's only worth 500. Nimkar v'chozer v'nimkar. He sold and then resold. Now, obviously, this doesn't fit what we just said. And this is Tosis's problem with Rashi. In that the way that I just explained the Gemara was Alibet Rashi, and it seems to be Seis of the Gemara that we're saying over here. But Lamaisa, as the Gra points out over here, it's obvious that the Rambam's Girsa in the Gemara was Nimkar ve'eno chozer ve'nimkar, which, says the Gra, is exactly what it says in the Mechilta, which makes the whole thing consistent with the Sugya before. And it makes perfectly good sense. V'yi Girsa nechona ma'od, says the Gra. So the correct Girsa of your, which obviates now Tosis' problems, everything now works out beautifully. So it's Nimkar ve'eno chozer ve'nimkar. On the other hand, Gnevo chamesh meot v'shove elef. In the case of Alon, where the Geneva was worth 500 and he's worth 1,000, so do we sell him for 3 years? Ein nimkar klal. Then he's not sold at all, because the Torah doesn't give semi sales. This is a sale. An Eved Ivri works for 6 years. You have no right to sell an Eved Ivri where he doesn't owe the value of his avdus for this thing, and there's no way to do a half a sale, because the Torah said v'nimkar, not v'nimkar chetzio. So therefore it's not nimkar klal. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, well, why don't you try to be consistent, gentlemen? Im hayag nevo keneged memkaron nimkar. Look, if what he's worth for 6 years is precisely what he owes, then he's sold. But im lav eno nimkar, if not, he's not sold at all. Omar Rava, boha zachnu Rabbi Eliezer l'rabbanu. The truth is, as outrageous as this sounds, Rabbi Eliezer is forcing the issue. Because what he's saying to the Rabbanan is, look, you're not consistent. Either you darshan the word b'gnevato, that it has to equal the gneva, or you don't. You can't have it both ways. Because he's telling him like this, Maishna, why is it that when it came to gnevo chamesh meod, v'shava elef, there you say is eino nimka klal, but the reason for that is, obviously, is that the Torah says, v'nimkar b'gnevato. What does that mean? Nimkar kulo amarachman of lochetcha. Where did the Torah give us a mechanism for selling a half a guy? Or selling him for half of the period? There's no such sale. But if that's the case, then you also have to look at it from the other point of view. V'nimkar b'gnevato means v'lo nimkar b'chatzi gnevato. If the nimkar means entirely, then the gnevato means entirely. You're being very inconsistent, says Robert. He's right. If you're going to tie in what the Rabbanan are going to say, then you're going to have to go all the way. You just say, the person is Nimkar, but only for his Geneva. He's not Nimkar for his Chatzi Geneva. If you're ready to say he's Nimkar for Chatzi Geneva, then he's Nimkar Chatzio. Why is this Chatzi and that's not Chatzi? Then continues the Braita, Umavdino taba al korcho, we force the pigeon. Now, what does that mean? Who? Force the pigeon for what? Some are Rav Lamimer bal korche de adon, not in the sense of pigeon, giron kesef, which is always bal korche de adon, where the other one says, well, listen, I paid my money, I don't want to sell. We force him, because that's obviously true book by Ivriya and Ivriya. V'chishavim kin kaneo, as we saw earlier. So what it means is, Amalei Abaye, what are you saying? Mind you, what do you mean when you say we force him? We mean, but we don't allow for you to own a Jewish child. So what will we do? Katvana l'shtara adameha. That we'll write a shtar, okay, look, you know what, against her future earnings and so on, I owe you. So we'll force him to accept an IOU as a bond, which is now worth money, that she should be owed. So that's absurd. Am I? How can we force such a thing? Nakit maganita biyade. A guy holds a pearl in his hand, this pearl of a girl, and we're going to yavin lechaspa. We're going to hand him over a piece of broken pottery, which is absolutely worthless. IOU. Big deal, IOU. and take away the pearl? How do we have a right to do such a thing? That can't be what it means. It must mean what we will do over here is that if the father can afford it, we will force the father to buy her back. Mishum pegam mishpacha, because it's just so belittling to a family that a man sold his daughter into avdus, that it's outrageous. Because of the pegam at home mishpacha, they can demand that this is unacceptable. I mean, if that's the case, what? And a guy now who was sold into slavery from a family, forget it. I understand a girl is even worse, a father, but every is a pegam mishpacha. What about you? Want to go out for shidduch? Who's a brother? Our brother's a slave. Thank you very much. So, I mean, over there it's clearly a pegam mishpacha. So, yachi have it even damin achpinu lei mishpacha mishum pegam mishpacha. So, why don't we force the guy now? We'll force the family to be paid. Yeah, well, that'd be great. That's a wonderful idea. So, anybody who needs money, all he has to do is go sell himself as an eved. Oy, I'm going to have to work probably for 6 hours until they get, you know, 6 years. Maybe 6 years. The rabbis are going to go get some of the big machers in the family, and they'll force them to buy me back. And meanwhile, I've paid up all my debts. It's a great idea. And if I don't have enough, I'll do it again tomorrow. So we can live off of this for many, many years. Says the Gemara, well, that's exactly why we won't do it, because Hadar Azil Mazbin Nafshi, he'll go sell himself again. We obviously can't hand him over a way in which he's going to be supported by his family.
Some gamblers.
Obviously, it's the way to tell how much money the guy has. If we're telling him that he has to buy them, if he's got enough money, he has to buy his daughter back. There's obviously some sort of mechanism that they have to say whether the guy's got money or not.
Yes, Lord.
Could you take this? I'm in the middle of the daf. Okay, says the Gemara. So, Achinami Hoder Ozil Umazvin La. So, what's then if we force now a pidyon for the father? I mean, he could always sell her again too. So, he'll sell her again? Ah, but he can't. Says, that's what it means to sell her again. But then we'll just force him to buy her back again. So, what would be the use of selling her again? If he's the guy who's paying the money. Well, where are you talking about the evidence? We're forcing the family. It's one thing. Over here we're going to say we're going to force the father. So what? The father will sell her again. What good is it going to do? We'll sell him again. I'm like, I'll have to pay the money back. Right? So it says maybe Rashi's approach is wrong. Maybe it means that we'll force people to buy her back. Not that we'll force the father. Other than the point is over here, the father desperate for money. If he doesn't have the cash, so he'll go sell her. So he won't have the money now. If he ultimately gets the money back, fine. Okay. But anyway, couldn't the father do the same thing? No, because Hakatani Eninim Keret V'Nishneit, there's no way for her to be sold and then to be resold. Isn't that what it said over here? Everything okay? Isn't that what it said in the Braita? Okay, so that means a father cannot resell a daughter. Once in a year, he went ahead and he sold her. Umani Rabbi Shimon, he, and who would it be going according to when it says that he cannot be seller again? It's going to leave it to Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya Mocher Adam et Bito Li'ishut V'Shona. A person can sell his daughter for marriage, and if the husband dies, he can then go ahead and once again accept Kedushin from another guy and continue to do this ad infinitum, as long as she was never in the Chuppah. And her husband dies conveniently before taking her chuppah, and he now resells her, and somebody's going to catch on to this a little bit. Or, of course, it would be the same if she gets a get. He could sell her again and accept kedushin from a third party, fourth party, but, and that would be fine.
But she had sex, she had a relationship, so he
koina
is
Bia,
so she is his wife.
No, it would be before Nisui.
Yeah, but Bia
is like Nisui, so then it would be after Nisui. So what are you asking? So, but if Lamaisa were there was no Nisui, she still knows she's her father. She's in his home. What kind of thing? I mean, what? He's a good father. He's not letting the boy in through the window at night. You know, it's all Romeo and Juliet kind of stuff. He didn't sell. He accepted Kedushin for her.
Oh, only
sell. Yeah, accepted Kedushin. So now the guy dies, so he accepts Kedushin again. That's okay.
He sold us in the ill will.
And he can sell her as a shifcha, and then let's say she was yotzeis b'sheish, or she was yotzeis b'yovel, she's still a ketana, and he can sell her again as a shifcha. And he can even sell her now le'ishut acha shifchut. Let's say after he sold her as a shifcha when she was three, so now she's yotzeis b'sheish, and now he can be mekabel kedushin. That's also good. The one thing he can't do is he can't avolola shivchut acharishut. He cannot, after accepting now ishut from kedusha, he can't go ahead and sell her for some reason as a shivchan. I'm going to see why that would be true. But this is the sheet of the Tanakhama. Now, according to this, we did not make sense of the case because he could sell her again. Ah, but we said it's a limit of Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Shimon indeed says, Kishim she'in adam mocheret pito l'shivchut achar ishut, kach ein adam mocheret pito l'shivchut achar shivchut. In the same way that a person can not sell his daughter as a shivcha after he accepted kedushin first she came back, so too a person cannot sell his daughter as a shivcha after she was once a shivcha. So therefore, there's no chashash that the father will be selling her again. Memela, it's correct to say that we can force a pidyon when it comes to the av, because it's only going to happen once anyway. But we can't force a pidyon when it comes to a normal event, because then he could sell himself again. So now everything makes sense. What is this machlokas dependent on? The Tanakama over here in Rabbi Shimon, they're arguing in the same machlokas about how to understand the pasuk of the plukta dahani tanoi, the machlokas of the Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva that we're about to learn. The Tanya, the Torah says that the father im ra'ah be'enei adonai asher lo ya'ada vehevda la'am nochri lo yimshol mochra bibigdoba. So now, how do we understand that word bibigdo? You'll notice the word bibigdo is written without a yud. So if I didn't know what the nekudot were, I didn't know how to read that pasuk, and I was just reading it based on the way it was written with the letters, I would very easily have read that bibogdo ba, after having acted so treacherously towards her. Bibigida. Yeah, what right does he have after treating his daughter like that, and he has no right to sell it? That's one way of reading it. If I understand that the word bibigdo is literally the way we read it with a chirik, bibigdo, as if there was a yud. I mean, we have a pasuk like that. Vatitveseyu bibigdo. Yosef's woman over there, Eshes Potiphar, she grabs him, bibigdo. So then bibigdo would mean when he puts his beged over her, which is a way in which we refer to marriage. Ufarasta kinafecha alamatcha. Ufarasta kinafecha, like we do in the chuppah. Figuratively, we spread a, that's why many people use a talit, the Svarim Bedavka, we'll put a talit, his talit, takes talit, and that's the Iker Chuppah, that's the Big Doba, literally spreading out a baguette over. So there's two very different ways of understanding that pasuk, or it may mean both together. Well, I mean, it might be both things. Which is, of course, the basis of the machlokas here. The Tanya, bibigdoba means, says Rabbi Akiva, kivan shepiras talito aleha shuv eno shay lemochra. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Once the Odin spread his wings over her by taking her as a wife, so at that point, at least that's what we assume, that it's talking about Yehud over here. So now the father can no longer sell her. So says Rabbi Akiva. Was Rabbi Eliezer Omer? No, bibogdo is the way to read it. Kivan shebagadba, if he did something so rotten to her as selling her into avdut, ein rishay lamochra, he cannot sell her again. What's the machlok? Because we might commit again. So Rabbi Eliezer savar yesh aim lamasoret. Things are meant to be understood essentially the way they are written, not the way that we pronounce them. And therefore, since it's written without a yud, so then it's understood as boged, bogdoba. He treacherized her, so he treated her with treachery. Whereas Rabbi Akiva, Zava Yesh Eim Lemikra, Rabbi Akiva holds, no, the way it's read, bibigdo, that's the way to understand it. Rabbi Shimon obviously holds both of them. That's the point that we were saying before. So Rabbi Shimon says, yesh em lamikra and lamasora. So therefore, I don't care what he did. He sold her into shifchut, can't sell her again. He sold her now into kedushin, bibigdo, also in Yochol Mokhra. So either way, he cannot sell her again. Therefore, Tainez Rabbi Shimon, Keshem She'en Adam Ocher Pitol Shifchut Achar Ishut, Kach En Adam Ocher Pitol Shifchut Achar Shifchut. Both ways are true. Memela works out very well. According to that, we don't have a chashash that the father will resell her because he's unable to resell her. Okay. Now, because we brought up the sugya, we're going now a little bit off on a tangent to understand it, which of course it's never really a tangent. It's that what we're trying to do now is find a reason for us to get deeper into the concept of Yud and to see how it relates to the idea of the Shivchut, because all along we've been separating the two, but acknowledging in terms of the structure of the Gemara that the Mechira for an Oma Ivriya, and we saw this from the very beginning of the Masechta, we got a suspicion that something funny is going on. That the relationship to the Oma Ivriya, we wanted to learn out all the dinim from Oma Ivriya and so on, really has something fundamental to do with Kedusha, because there the Torah says that he could be Mia'edota, that became the Makar for Ein Kasev, Ein Kasev Ladon Zeh, Yesh Kasev Ladon Acher. Very interesting interrelationship between the concepts of Ma'aseh Yadayim and Kedusha, the rights of the father, and what it means to sell it to Shivcha, that actually could turn into Kedusha. Since we brought up this issue over here of the relationship of the Big Doba, which is mashma, but Pashas is referring to the idea of yud specifically with the Adam. So when it says that mochera adam et bito, the mochera adam et bito lishivchut acharishut is mashma, if you hold that, the ishut of the Adam. After he sold her as an Oma Ivriya, so now he goes ahead and he's beyayed her and then he dies. So the question is now, can you sell her? Once we have that question, the natural issue that it raises in your mind, the Rebbe Yisrael just brought it up basically, is that Yi'ud the equivalent of Chuppah, or is it only the equivalent of Kedusha? Because if it's the equivalent of Chuppah, then none of this makes sense. Because once a woman is Yotzei Mereshut Avia with Nisuin, so what do you mean? He can now sell her as a Shivka. If a daughter at 3 years of age was taken to a chuppah, forget it. She's got no father. She's called the Yitomah B'chayei Aviyah. All of our halachic rights to the daughter have been removed. So what are we saying now? So now you understand that this immediately forces us into a reconsideration of what it is that the Yud achieves. So therefore, goes on to Gemara now to the following Abaya. Boi Rabba Baravua. Yi'ud. What does that do, Yi'ud? Does it achieve a nisu'in osa? Or do we see eris in osa? Or does Yi'ud achieve only the act of kedushin? The nafkamina is obvious. The nafkamina would be, if the Odin does Yi'ud, does that mean that if she dies, he's Yorisher? If he's a Kohen, he's Metami for her, Litameila? That if she makes a neder, that he can be made for the Nadarm on his own, or not? Why? Tashma, what's very clear. It says bibigdoba, and we darshan that to mean kivan shepiras talito alea shuv en orishayla mochra, that the father does not have a right to sell her as a shivcha after already we had what we assumed was yiud. So what does that tell you? That zvuni adolomaz bina, he cannot sell her as a shivcha, but he could accept kedushin for her. Ha yiude miyayid la yiude over here would mean in the sense of accepting kedushin, right? So he could accept kedushin for her. The iamit nisuin osa. If you're going to tell me that the original yiud created a state of nisuin, then this whole pasuk doesn't make any sense, because given that he said shuven levir shutpa, I mean, once the yud had achieved the nisuin, it's like any other nisuin, I would assume, and therefore the father would have no rishus over. She doesn't have a father, technically speaking. La halacha. Elalav shmam in erusin osas. You see clearly from here, yud can only achieve erusin and not nisuin. Omrim Nachum bar Yitzchak. That's not true. Who's to say that we're talking about a case of yud over here? Maybe we're talking about Kiddushin the Almakoi, maybe Enochinami. The whole discussion that we had about the Bigdoba, which you assumed, because of the context, obviously the context was, now you're talking about the Odin, in other words. So you said the Bigdoba and Yerchalamochra is going back on the previous case. We had sold her to an Odin, but the Odin wasn't Miyahidwa. And so on. Now it goes back to the father, but since he treated her so terribly, he can't sell her. Nah, that's not what he's talking about. Maybe Rabbi Akiva was talking about a normal case of kiddushin. So what's talking about shirak sutavon atam? And that's talking about marriage. That's not what he was saying. Was like this: kivan shemasra avia, in a normal kiddushin to someone who would be chayav. In She'irak Sutava Onata, meaning to someone who was going to become her husband, Shuv Ein Yochol Mochrai, then he would not be able to sell her again. That's what it's saying, not talking about the case of the Yud. It's talking about normal Kedusha, but maybe in Akinami, maybe normal Yud would be in fact Nisuin, if it was a continuation of the previous case. By the way, I mean, certainly this makes you consider She'irak Sutava Onata. Lo yigara? I mean, that's the suing. What do you mean? I mean, sleeping with her? Am I allowed to sleep with her? What are you telling me? Sherak stavanata lo yigara. So, I mean, isn't the whole context referring to the other who was miyayid? So what we're going to have to say is that what it's saying is, if he was miyayid, and indeed, ultimately, is no seota, then if he takes another one, you should know he can't treat her any differently. Okay? It doesn't necessarily mean that this particular case was already chayv v'sherak sudvona. All right, so this is a little bit counterintuitive, and I understand the pasuk, but lamaisa, what we're saying is like this. Perhaps yud is nisuin osa. In which case, if lamaisa, the odin had been miyayid, and then he died, she wouldn't go back into the father's rishus. But the case where Rabbi Akiva was talking about, kibbutz shepeiras talito aleha, doesn't mean the talit of the odin. It means that he caused another person, another male, he never sold her as a shivcha. He had taken kedushin from somebody. That guy dies. Now he's got a real problem. What do I do with this daughter? So he goes and he sells her as a shivcha. So as we're saying, bibig doba, since he accepted the talit of a guy, so he cannot now be molchem. Okay. Toshma, let me show you for the following brighter what the din would be. Ein mochra lekrovim. So the Tanakhama says you cannot sell your daughter to relatives, because those relatives can't marry her. So if Kedushin won't be Chal, then clearly the Torah was not talking about this case of a sale, because it says that you sell where the Adon could be Miyayid her. Here the Adon can never be Miyayid her. Mishum Rabbi Eliezer Amru, Mochra Lekrovim is not a problem. It's just that the Torah is saying that if you sold it to someone who could be Miyayid her, fine. But who's to say that that is an innate limitation in which type of people are able to be kind of the Shifra from the father? So therefore, that's another thing. But both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar, as part of the correct Yirsa, are Maida Shavin Shemochra Almanalakoyen Golo Grusha Bechalutzalakoyen Hedyot. That if he has a daughter who's an Almona, ding, 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 this rings bells. A daughter who's an Almona, huh? We're going to have to think about that, because he's selling a daughter who's an Almona. If his daughter's an Almona, how does he still have Rishus over her? That's what we're going to have to think about. But anyway. But if he sells a daughter who's an almana to a Kohen Gadol, she'll say, but the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to marry an almana. Huh. Not a problemo. Why? Because theoretically, if he would, the Kedushin would be Chal, because it is a love. So therefore, we can't say that it's excluded by virtue of Yada. So in that case, it would be okay. If you sold almana to a Kohen Gadol, it's good. And Grusha Bechalutz of Kohen, it's also good. But now, fine. Okay, forget about that. I'm only interested in focusing in on this case. An almana? Tell me what the case was. Har almana hechi dami. What? She accepted for Kedushin for herself, the little girl. She went ahead and she took something. He dangled a little pretty ring in front of her. Said, hey, little girl, would you like to be my wife? That's not called an almana. I mean, there's no kinyan there at all. So Elay Medekodesh Nafshan. Do you call that an almana? Ella the Kitcha Avia. So what is it got to be talking about that the father was Makabal Kedushin for her? So then I thought he can't sell her. We must see Mazvinah. How can he sell her? I thought a man cannot sell a daughter for shivchut acharishut. This is why it couldn't have said Rabbi Eliezer before. Because Rabbi Eliezer was the one who was chelek in Rabbi Akiva before, and he says, no, it's only the begida of the mechira l'shivcha. So what are we asking? Is this going a little bit of Rabbi Eliezer? Bechlal, you should ask. What's the Gemara's problem? Why can't it be going a little bit of Rabbi Eliezer? An almana, a little bit of Rabbi Eliezer. Who says that it's okay to sell for shivchut acharishut, right? So he darshan in a posik, but bogdo, not be bigdo. So enochinami, the svara at this point is because since Rabbi Eliezer is a shamuti, so there's really was put into cherem because of the whole maisa, they prefer to figure that the brayta is not going on Rabbi Eliezer. Enochinami, the end we're going to come out in the sugya that there are some shitot that have no choice but to say it's going on the Rabbi Eliezer. The Omer Reb Amram, Omer Reb Yitzchak, I'll tell you what the case is. And this becomes now obliquely a reference to our question. The Omer Reb Amram, Omer Reb Yitzchak, Kacha b'kedusha yi'ud. It's going now, referring to a case not of normal kedushin. She became an almana after yi'ud. And it's going according to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda holds that the ma'ot harishonot lav l'kiddushin nitno. We're going to see that there's a machlokas later on about how yud is achieved. Is yud achieved through the initial giving of the money? So now that money can be looked back retroactively as kesef that would be good for kiddushin if I so determined. But comes along now Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda and he says, no. The yud is achieved by the money that he gives her in relinquishing his rights to her avdut. The nafkamina will be, if there's not a shavakruta left of her avdut, let's say it's the last day of her avdut, and according to the price, there's not a shavakruta yet left. So if you hold that the mot harishon not were kedush, it doesn't matter how much is left. I'm not using the mechila of the remaining lien. I'm using the original money that I gave. It was a lot of money. That's certainly fine for Shavapruta. But if you hold that the Kedushin is only from the giving away to her the rights of her own work, so then if that would be the case, it's less than Shavapruta. It's not a good Kedushin. So I'll leave it to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Enoch Hinam, it has to be with the Shavapruta now. Therefore, if Lamaisa, the original money given to the Av, was not Kesef Kedushin, so where was the Kesef Kedushin? Who received the Kesef Kedushin? A little girl. She's not yet 12 years old, because if she were, she wouldn't be a Shivcha. The father didn't accept Kedushin, because you're telling me that the original money wasn't for Kedushin. So we have a situation here where the limitations on the father of the big doba simply didn't happen because he wasn't the one who did it. In which case, he could now go ahead and he could give her over as an almana, comes back. There was no big doba. She had accepted her own kedushin, so to speak, by going ahead and doing the iud. And now she is able to be sold once again as an almana. Coming back, because kedushin would be chal. And here is the point that's an oblique raya to our issues because, continues the Gemara, if you're going to tell me that in the acceptance of Yud, she was already a Nisuah, so then he still won't be able to sell her. Because Kiman Shinisait, Shurvein Lav Yarushut, but anyway. And therefore, you really haven't helped us at all by giving us this case. Unless the real meaning is that this case is a solution simply because Yehud is nothing but Kedushin and not Nisun, and now everything makes sense. QED, here's the answer to your question. Yehud makes Erisun and not Nisun. Says the Gemara, now wait a minute, that doesn't follow at all. Let's say what you're saying. Velamai, Erusinosa? That Yehud creates Erusin. Okay. So then, continue. Vishavin Shemokhra. You're telling me that despite the fact that Yud is Erisin, then how could the Braisa say that everybody agrees that she can be sold as an Oma? I thought, that we just said that a person is not allowed to sell after Ishut, even Ishut of Erisin. So how does that help you anyway? Ella, what are you going to say? You have no choice but to say, Elamait lach lamima, that this is different. Why is it different? Because Shani Erusin Dida, since Yud, according to the sheet of Rabbi Yezir Rabbi Yehuda, is not made by the father, so therefore the whole idea doesn't apply, right? And there's no problem of the Rishus now of the father, Bibigdoba. So, but if that's the case, if Shani Erusin Dida, Mi Erusin Diaviya, so then perhaps even Afilutema, even if you're going to tell me that Yud actually does make Nisuin, Nisuin Nisa, don't you have the same argument? Shiny Nisuin Didam, Nisuin Davia, perhaps indeed the Torah was only Motzi, a daughter from the Rishus of the father, after a Nisuin that is made by the father. But not in a unique case like this, where she's not really capable anyway, in normal circumstances, of being Mekabelis Kedusha for herself. So the Torah created a new type of Erisin that's going to be done by a child. What should we call Yud? So perhaps the Nisuin that comes from a Yud is a different type of Nisuin. And also, wouldn't be Motzi Mirshut Ha'av? Says the Gemara, that's not reasonable to say. Hi, Mai, come on. I mean, Bishlema Erisin Mi Erisin Shine. I understand that one type of Erisin is different than the other type of Erisin. Because, I mean, the whole point over here is that the father, having been the one who had been bogate by, he's not able to be mochra. But in this case where he wasn't, he hadn't accepted now the big doba, rather, hadn't accepted that begat. It's not made by him, so there's no limitations on him. So, but that makes a great deal of sense because it's a completely different act. But what difference is there in the nisuin? The nisuin is referring to a state of... A state of independence, essentially, that takes out the rishus of the av, and has to do with whether she is, in fact, a married woman. What's the difference? How she became a married woman? So, elanisuin and benisuin, what are you going to tell me? That the Torah over here is making a difference between nisuin and nisuin? Mishaini? Is there, in fact, a reasonable basis for making such an afkamina? The point is that the marriage is absolutely a deraisa marriage, and therefore she's not considered to be in the rishus of the father. So why in the world would we come up with the idea that it would be innately different? And since the braita does indeed say that the father is able to sell her as an alma, even though she's in this almanum in a yud, so it's clear that yud is only aisa erusin. Says the Gemara, what about according to Reb Nachman by Yitzchak? The Amar Afilu Reb Yezer Reb Yehuda Moshe Rishon is the Kedushin Nidnu. Reb Nachman by Yitzchak holds that it isn't true, and that Reb Yosi Reb Yehuda agrees that of course it's the father who accepted the Kedushin at the original moment. We'll see what the according to him what the Machlokas is about why you would need that last Shavapruta. So, but by Mukimla, how does he understand the Braita? Because now he can't go through this whole analysis. This analysis only makes sense if the Torah is a Mechadish, a new type of Kedusha. If the Torah is not Mechadish, a new type of Kedusha, so what does he say? But by Mukimla. Oh, he says, okay, I guess we have no choice. The Braita is obviously going on leave the Rebbe Eliezer. According to Rebbe Eliezer, it's only the Shifchut Acha Shifchut to the Lo Matzimas Vinla. But if the father had accepted Kiddushin, and she comes back into his Rishus, he is able to sell her. So then there's Bechlal no problem in the Braita. She's an Almana from a Kiddushin, and now he's selling her as a Shifcha. And the Braita wants to tell you, what's the din if the person who's buying her is a Kohen Gadol? Doesn't matter, because if it is Almana or a Kohen Gadol. But theoretically, it's possible to have Kiddushin being chal, because it's only in a salav, not in a sakaris. So therefore, according to him, everything makes sense perfectly well.